diminished supply of food went overboard at the same time as the map. It was still enough to keep them going on reduced rations for several days.
At least we won't die of thirst.
Thirst? No! Hypothermia, very possibly!
Mildred dug in with her paddle to try to pull them from a sucking whirlpool. Despite his lean build and his appallingly depraved style of living, Court Strasser was a creature of almost endless strength. But as the afternoon light began to dim, filling the shadows between the high cliffs with an extra layer of darkness, even he began to suspect he was coming to the end of his endurance. Their small inflatable was much easier and lighter to handle than the big raft that Ryan and his group had commandeered. And even that needed constant vigilance and cunning to save it from being swamped or torn apart by the jagged rocks. He'd taken the precaution of strapping extra paddles to the side of the clumsy craft. Twice during that endless day, Strasser had to use one of them. One paddle snapped like a frail twig against a wall of rushing rock, while the other simply started to disintegrate into splinters. Wraith performed heroically, though his boss still screamed raging abuse at him for every jolt and spin of the raft. Rosa had given up. Like Jack Lauren, miles behind, she was completely overcome by nausea. Fortunately for them, there was so much water swirling into and over the inflatable that her constant puking was washed away.
Tell me now, Court. Take me out of my fucking misery.
Ryan had tried to memorize the lost map, but quickly discovered that it would have been precious little help. The land showed all the signs of lifting and shearing that typified of a wind and quake movement. There were long patches of oily calm, where he remembered some of the demonic drops from the brochure, and sudden falls where they had to stop and drag the inflatable along narrow paths, where he was sure the map had shown easy stretches. One of the worries was that there were virtually no places along the endlessly southerly gorge where they could hope to safely land. Most of the time, there was only the steep cliffs, towering up to 500 feet high on either side, plunging clear down into the rushing water. Occasionally, they'd be the target for dozens of small white-breasted blue birds that dived at them, whistling shrilly at the invasion of their territory. Once or twice, they spotted fish leaping upstream over the foaming rapids, with the silver glint of scales iridescent in the rainbow spray. As Jack recovered, he began to take a more lively part in the adventure, standing balanced in the pitching bow of the raft, shrieking orders to Ryan at the steering paddle, his hand waving them to left or right. Around mid-afternoon, they came down a great slide of rock and water, hopelessly out of control, trusting only to luck to get them through. Their luck nearly held.
What the fuck?
But near the bottom, a slicing piece of jagged boulder snagged one of the starboard flotation chambers and cut it open as neatly as a good steel knife. The inflatable immediately rode lower in the river, allowing waves to break in over Mildred and JB on that side.
Hell with this!
The next mile or so was calmer, though the river still flowed fast, carrying them at a good 12 to 15 miles an hour.
Can we repair it?
JB shook his head.
No way. Even if we beached her, we don't have anything that could mend a tear in this stuff.
Still got freeboard.
Doc tried to wring water out of the sleeves of his frock coat. Mildred shook her head so that the tiny, tight plaits all moved together, throwing off beads of water.
As long as we don't lose another part, any lower and we'll be sailing under this damn river instead of on top of it.
Ryan looked at the bank. There was a gently shelving beach of golden sand, lined with clumps of sycamores and oaks, the wall of seamed rock rising steeply behind them. It would make a safe camping spot, but there were still hours of good daylight left, and Strasser would be going on. Even though the sun had gone behind the cliff to their right, the passage through the long canyon was still navigable.
We keep going.
Yeah, of course we do.
Wraith lay huddled in the bow, eyes squeezed shut, hands clasped between his thighs. He was trying to keep himself warm and stop the shuddering that racked his lean body. He'd reached the end of his limits of strength and then gone even beyond that. Strasser had given up trying to rouse his lieutenant with words and abuse. The river was never still and safe for long, so he was denied the opportunity to leave the steering position in the stern to go to flog Wraith with the steel-braided quirt. The light was now fading fast. Ahead of them on the right, he'd spotted a narrow strip of sand, but he lacked the power to beach the awkward raft. After the sandy stretch, there was a jagged headland, which marked a sharp bend in the river. Strasser began to maneuver the inflatable closer to that bank. He'd noticed that there was often a small landing place on both sides of similar jutting crags, and he knew that he, too, was near to the end of his tether. If they missed a chance to land and camp for the night, they might drift helplessly until they reached another of the sheer drops that they'd already portaged. But this time, they would slide silently over the brink to their deaths.
We're coming in!
Not all that far behind, Ryan was reaching the same conclusion. The day of rafting had been infinitely more tiring than he'd imagined. Everyone had pulled their weight to the best of his or her ability. But now the afternoon was near done. It was time to get the raft out of the river for the night.
Jack!
What?
Keep a good lookout for some place to pull in for the night.
The boy kept his hand to his ear.
Can't hear, Ryan.
A place for the night!
Jack waved a hand to show that he'd finally understood the message. They'd just reached a point where huge earth slips had come down on both sides of the river, narrowing it to a hurtling, boiling cascade. Ryan steered the raft toward the center of the current, hoping that there was nothing around the next curve. They were now racing at twice their normal speed, and any sort of control was almost impossible. Like a cork bursting from the neck of a bottle, the bright-colored inflatable shot through the gap, emerging into quieter waters. Jack's right hand pointed like an accusing angel.
There!
Ryan looked across to starboard, seeing that there was another rock slide jutting out into the stream from the right, where the river made a sharp bend. There was a slender strip of sandy shore, but barely enough time to steer their inflatable toward it. Ryan was tempted to allow their craft to float on around the corner, with the hope of finding an easier landing place.
Pull right!
Christy and Doc paddled furiously, bending all their strength into it, while Mildred and JB backed water, swinging the clumsy raft around and making it head with a grudging reluctance toward the sand.
Jack! Take the bowline!
Right!
Out of the center, the water flowed and eddied more slowly, and they managed to reach the shore without too much trouble. The bow came in, and Jack leapt with an eldritch agility, tying the rope around the stump of an old walnut tree. Everyone climbed out and flopped on the sand. Ryan looked at them, wondering how long they'd be able to keep on rafting south. As far as he could judge, they must now be close to halfway toward the Grandee. JB tried to wring water out of his battered fedora.
I'll get a fire going.
How about Strasser? He could be anywhere, right around the next bend.
Ryan shook his head.
Doubt that. He had a good start on us. Likely he'll keep going till dark before he stops.
Are we positive that the villain hasn't taken some backwater or side creek and is, even now, sneaking along behind us?
Mildred looked pityingly at the old man.
I'm sure your brain's addled, Doc. Sometimes I think you're not even 10 cents on the dollar.
What?
First off, there's been not even a stream where he could have gone. If you'd had your roomy old eyes open, you'd have seen that for yourself. And second, I don't see how anyone could come sneaking along after us, not on that river.
Well, for your information, my good woman, I think...
Enough, you two. We'll need to dry out and get some food in us. Maybe see if there's any chance of catching a fish. Rest up. That most of all. Just rest up.
Exhaustion on all their parts wore down their usual vigilance. The companions figured that nobody would risk navigating the river in the dark. It was perilous enough by daylight, and the cliffs behind them were so stark that nobody could hope to come down at them. And everyone was just so bone-weary that sleep was essential. But Mildred had slept badly, finding that the ceaseless surge of the river kept her in a fitful, broken slumber. And the sand that had seemed so soft once they got off the raft now contrived to mold itself to the consistency of concrete, rubbing at her hips, knees, ankles, and elbows. The dreams had been the same as always, yellow flames against dried lawns, ropes taut as iron bars, moving slowly against a starry, starry night, white hoods with small, pig-like eyes that lurked behind them, knives slick with spilled red blood, the taint of scorched flesh hanging over the richness of the magnolia. She didn't know whether she cried out in waking. Looking around at the others and knowing how lightly they slept, she guessed she couldn't have. It wasn't even close to dawn yet, but the river seemed to give off a pale phosphorescent glow. The stars above were like pinpoints of diamond, and she shuddered at their coldness. Moving with infinite care, so as not to disturb